Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we've been in for about the last 6 weeks, the prayer of Jabez. When you look at this prayer, it's a very simple prayer. It's just consists of 2 verses. You don't really find Jabez mentioned much of any place else in Scripture. He prays this prayer, and you find that God hears and answers his prayer. And then he's off the scenes from Scripture. You'll never find him again listed. You'll never find him named. And yet, whenever you read the name of Jabez, the definition, you remember I shared with you at the very outset, his name means pain or a painful one. Don't know what happened when his birth, if it was a painful time because of what happened, the process of his birth or the pain in the home. The Bible just simply doesn't say. But we've been in this series for the last 6 or 7 weeks because we're taking each part of it because the Bible gives only this prayer of Jabez. The Bible ends it by saying God granted him what he prayed for. And so let's look at this particular prayer once again. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, 2 simple verses, but yet 2 profound verses, and I just want to remind you again of just some truths that we've reoriented and remind ourselves of, because it was the heart's desire of Jabez to count. You know, the Bible says in this passage that he prayed to the God of Israel. That's significant because there were a lot of other gods, there were a lot of idols, but Jabez knew that there was power in the God of Israel. And when you stop and think of his name, it means pain or painful one. You remember that one of the things that Jabez discovered or learned in life, that he was not going to let his past determine his destiny. If there's one thing that you and I need to remember in life, your past does not have to determine your destiny. Where you go in life does not have to be contingent upon what's happened to you in the past. Jabez realized that. He was not going to let the failures of his parents and grandparents and those of his ancestors around him, he wasn't going to let what they lived affect his life. The Bible says he didn't let his past determine his destiny. He didn't let his name affect his future. He didn't, you know, let his earthly parents determine what was going to happen. And, you know, he said he prayed to the God of Israel. Jabez knew that there was significance. You remember he called on the name of the Lord and he called out with intentionality. Jabez didn't just accidentally one day pray this prayer. It's not written in Scripture just because Jabez stumbled over a prayer to pray. Jabez realized one of the things that affects the heart of God is intentionally praying, is intentionally calling out to the Lord. You know, I shared with you, he prayed with intentionality, he prayed with purpose, he prayed with expectancy. So oftentimes in our praying, we don't pray with purpose, we don't pray with expectancy. We don't pray with that sense of intentionality. That was not going to be the life of Jabez. And by the way, he didn't just pray this prayer one time. No doubt he prayed it over and over and over and over and over again. But you know, his prayer, you remember the Bible says he prayed for God to bless him indeed. Now, I shared with you, if you remember, the word blessing is very significant in Scripture, especially in this text. Because the word bless literally means asking God to supernaturally favor your life. You know, sometimes, and I think a lot of times, we sell ourselves short. We don't ask the Lord, so we don't receive. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they was looking over the landscape of their life, and I asked them, I said, when was the last time you prayed for, and I named it? And they said, you know, it's probably been years. And then they said, you know what? I've settled on what I could get, haven't I? In other words, it's like a wake-up call. You know, God loves to hear and answer our prayers. God loves to hear us pray, but God's not at the other end of our prayer saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm sorry, I'm just pretending about answering prayer. That's not what Jabez found out. The Bible says Jabez prayed and asked God to bless him. He asked God to supernaturally favor his life. He asked God to rain his blessings upon him, and it did. You know, his life was blessed. But tonight I want us to look at one other portion of this, because after he called on the name of the Lord and after he asked God to bless him and to bless him indeed and enlarge his coast, after he asked for the Lord's hand to be with him, there was another portion of this prayer that Jabez prayed, and I want you to look back at it in your copy of the scripture. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, after Jabez has prayed and asked God to bless him, he's called on the name of the Lord, bless me, enlarge my coast, keep your hand upon me, that I wouldn't grieve you. It's as though Jabez takes an about turn and says, I want to talk to you now, Father, about evil that is in the world. So I hope you have a pencil and a piece of paper, because I want to give you some very significant truths that you and I need to remember when it comes to this prayer. First and foremost, you know, Jabez knew that all the guarding and the protection in life came from the Lord. How did he know that? You remember that Jabez knew well the stories of Abraham, the stories of God's protection over Moses and the children of Israel. He knew well those stories because he wasn't very far removed from them in time frame. He knew well the story of the Exodus. He knew well the story of the Red Sea. He knew well the story of the Passover. And one of the things that Jabez knew was this: there is a guarding, guiding, loving, caring, protecting hand over my life, and that hand is the hand of my God. It's the hand of us who are believers. It's the hand of our Father. Amen? Don't you love knowing and realizing and thinking that the hand of your Father is upon your life? And the Bible makes it very clear that He's going to protect us from all harm. Now, this is a little aside. I shared a little bit about it this morning. But part of this I didn't share with you, and I've not even shared it with Charlotte. This morning as we was leaving out, as you know, it was raining and raining and raining, and we came across some floodwaters. And someone asked me, said, what other way out? How long would it take you to go other way out? Well, there's no other way out from my house except this one way. And when I got down to those floodwaters, I thought, it's either stay and miss church or go. And there just happened to be a truck right in front of me. I think it was maybe a little bit like Byron's truck. But anyway, it forded the river, and it was way up high. You know, I mean, the water was way up high. But in the middle of that river, I just simply prayed this prayer. I didn't say it out loud. I didn't even tell my wife, Father, put your finger on my car. Now, I know that it don't take a lot to get cars to go this way. Now, you say, now, Pastor, why didn't you just stay home? Well, I wanted to preach this morning. Because, I mean, that I, you know, there's something about the Word of God that changes your life. And I wanted to get to church. And but listen, here's what Jabez knew. Here's what you and I need to know. There is the guarding, guiding, caring, delivering, protective hand of God. It's not accidental, folks, to you and me. It's very intentional, very deliberate, and very purposeful. And the reality about it was, as I was going through that little, well, it's sort of like a little river, so to speak, I got right on through it, no problem whatsoever. And my wife was so pleased that she didn't have to get out and paddle or didn't have to get out and walk. And she said, if I do have to get out and walk, I'll keep you conscious of this for a long time. And I appreciate that. She wouldn't have to worry about me forgetting that. That's so kind of her. But anyway, listen, here's what Jabez knew. Jabez knew there is a guarding God over our life. Amen? You need to realize purposely, deliberately, intentionally, there is a guarding God over your life. I will tell you one other thing that happened this morning, and I didn't do it. As I was getting ready to get out, there was this little voice whispered to my conscience, take your truck. I didn't take my truck. Took the car. The Lord protected me. The Lord watches over sometimes when you're not very wise. But listen, that's what Jabez do. And you stop and think about it. Jabez knew this earth rotated by God's hand. This, you know, and it's so sad and really so sickening that we live in a world that people have become so disoriented to God. I mean, you live and you move and you have your being because of God. And yet, average person don't talk to the Lord, don't thank the Lord. You know, thank you for the breath you give me. Thank you for the ability to move my arms and to walk and to be mobile. And thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Jabez knew that the guarding, guiding, protective hand of God was upon his life. And you see, the creation, all there is because of holy God. I love what Hebrews says in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholds all things, listen carefully, by the word of his power. You know what Jabez knew? Lord, you're going to uphold me by the word of your power. Jabez didn't live life randomly or by chance. Here's what he said, Lord, I pray that you would guard me and that you would guide me, that you would protect me. And by the way, let me say this. If you get in trouble situations, dire situations, crisis situations, ask yourself this question. When was the last time I asked for the guarding, guiding, protecting hand of Holy God over my life? It's amazing how we'll listen to the Word of God, but we won't apply it. We won't say, Lord, guard my life today, guide my life today, protect my life today. Listen, there's so many people out in the world and people that are not very smart, to put it, that are driving. We saw some driving in the emergency lane coming here. It's amazing the people you see. But you know what happens? God has a way of protecting you from evil when you first of all acknowledge God, this day is appointed by you. You're the orchestrator of this day, and all that happens in my life is because of you, any good thing. Second of all, this call is a request from Holy God to deliver from the evil of the world. Now, I want you to listen to the text of this. I want you to listen to exactly what he says, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, I want you to listen to it again, that thou, Lord, wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, here's what Jabez was really praying. Lord, you have the charge over my life, and I ask you to keep me from evil. Now, what in the world does all that mean? Jabez knew that, here's the reality. If there's anybody that guides your life and guards your life, it's the Lord God. But here's something that Jabez also knew. I have to participate in this thing. You don't have a well-kept life, an intact life, by accident. You look at somebody that's in their 60s, 70s, 80s, latter 80s, they're intact emotionally, they're intact mentally, they're intact physically. Sometimes we just say, wow, man, they were very fortunate. No, there are some things that those folks have learned to do through the years that you and I need to remember. We need to be understanding that God's Word is a guide that keeps us from evil. You know, whenever he was praying this prayer, he knew. Now, Jabez did not have a Bible. He didn't have an Old and New Testament. He just knew what the law of God said. The law of God was 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And as it went on down, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and on and on and on. Jabez knew the 10 commandments. Now think about this for a moment. How healthy would your life be? Now we're not saved by the 10 commandments. Don't misunderstand me. The 10 commandments were never designed to save. They save no person. Paul said in the book of Romans, they're a school teacher to show us what we need to do, what we can't do. But think about it. What if you use the laws of God to guide your life? You see, here's the reality. Here's what Jabez knew. His request from God was that, God, you keep me from evil. You keep me from sin. In other words, if you're going to be kept from sin, you have to be tender to sin. For example, guard your conscience, guard your eyes. You know, there's a song we used to sing years ago. Be careful of lies, what you see. Be careful of lies, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears. But you see, here's what some people do. Some people just, I mean, we just love to find evil. I never will forget one of the sayings of my mother-in-law in her last days. She said, you know, it appears that people are racing toward evil at 90 miles an hour. And it really does. Jabez said, Lord, I ask you to keep me from evil. In other words, make me conscious, so conscious of the world around me. And you see, Jabez yearned in his heart to be aware of sin. He yearned in his heart to be aware of those things that destroy. And that's something you and I need to be conscious of. You know, but that prayer included a whole lot more. Jabez, you know, he prayed for God to deliver him. Lord, deliver him out of those intense situations. Have you ever been in a temptatious situation? You said, Lord, you're going to have to deliver me out of this situation. Or you're in a crisis situation. Lord, deliver me. Listen, the Bible says that there is someone who is the prince and the power of this world, and the Bible calls him Satan, calls him Lucifer, calls him the devil. He is the prince and the power of the world, but he's not the king of the world. There is one who's the sovereign king of the world, and that's Almighty, Holy Jehovah God. And here's what Jabez prayed. He said, Jabez prayed, Lord, you deliver me from evil and those who are evil. Now, and those things that have a way of causing evil to your life. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for God to keep you from evil? Do you guard your eyes from evil? Do you guard your ears from evil? You know, the Bible says the eyes never see enough and the ears never hear enough. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody who wants to find out on the latest gossip, what's new? In other words, what's the newest thing you've heard about somebody? Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from evil. Now, do you have a sensitive heart? Listen carefully. Jabez cooperated with God, the Bible says. How do you know that? Because God granted what he said. Listen, if you're going to receive answers from God, you've got to participate in the process. If you're going to receive answers from God, it's sort of like we want to have it on coast in life and, Lord, bless me, bring me, give me, do this for me. And we just want to put life on coast. You know, we want to sort of coast through and I don't have any responsibility. And some people will say, well, why don't the Lord do this for me? Why don't the Lord just pour money down into your life? He does. He calls it work. You know, it's like I heard a story one time, this dear lady lived in the South, in deep South, and there was a man that visited her house, and in the back of her house, she had a beautiful, beautiful garden. And he went out back and looked at the garden. She was an elderly lady, probably close to 90. And he said, ma'am, he said, it looks like you just waved a magic wand over this place back here, and all these flowers just came to be. She said, I did, and it had a hole on the end of it too. Now listen carefully. One of the reasons God don't do, because he won't violate his word. He won't violate what he has given in his word for you and me to practice. And you see, you know, there's power in praying, God, deliver me from evil. Jesus said it. You and I are to pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the principalities and powers and rulers of this world. If you and I could see into the invisible realm, you and I would see demons and all those things taking place, but we'd also see angels as well. This world is an activity of invisible realms, of visible powers and principalities that take place, and angels as well. And that's exactly what Jabez knew. Listen, Jabez prayed, God, you keep me from evil, that you would keep me from evil. Now, how does God keep us from evil? You know, you say, well, you know, so I just have to pray it and that's all I have to do. Well, one of the things whenever you do that, you become aware of evil. Listen carefully. There's somebody out there to destroy your life. There's someone out there to try to cheat and lie and do all that on your life. There's people that love running other people's lives. The Bible says some people are inventing new ways to do evil every day. And it don't bother them to lie on you and to harass you and to do all that. So one of the things that Jabez learned, he became aware. By the way, are you aware that Satan is out to ruin you? Are you aware Satan is not just going to try to ruin you, but kill you, steal, and destroy your life? If you're not aware of that, then you're playing in the passenger seat, so to speak. You need to be aware of that. Jabez was aware of that. Second of all, one of the ways that we're kept from evil is God's word alerts us to those things that cause evil. Never will forget my mother when I was just a little boy. She would say something like this. She said, I want you in by a certain time because nothing good happens after. And then she named the time. It might have been midnight or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Most of the time we had to be in by 8 or 9 and bed by 10 o'clock. And she would say, now nothing good happens after such and such a time. Well, I took that to heart. Absolutely, you know. But here's what she was trying to say. My son, I want you to listen to my word because I'm here to protect you. Now, I want to give you just a few ways that God keeps you and me from evil. You know, first of all, he alerts us to the pain of disobedience. Do you realize disobedience destroys your life and brings evil in your life? You know why? Because do you realize that disobeying God is like the sin of witchcraft? Do you realize that disobeying God is the same as committing witchcraft? The Bible says in the book of Samuel, for the sin of rebellion is as divination unto God. Because when you're disobeying God, you're obeying Satan. Think about it. There's only two that, you know, vying for. It's the Lord God, who is the authority of the universe, or Satan. And so his word reminds you and me of, you know, disobedience to God's word is a path to evil. By the way, you know, sometimes as you read Scripture, you just find these people that are in Scripture. They disobeyed God. What happened to them? Look at the next sequence. One example is King Saul. Look at his life, what he did by not obeying God. And by the way, you don't have enough time in life to make all the mistakes. So listen to somebody else and learn from them so you don't have to do it. Well, you know, God keeps us from evil by revealing, first of all, an awareness of sin. Second of all, alerting us to the avenues of evil through his word. He alerts us to the avenues of evil. You know, one is disobedience to his word, as I just mentioned. Another pathway to evil is a promiscuous woman. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 6:26. By means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. In other words, what Solomon is saying is that a woman of reckless character, she just reduces a man to, you know, some money, some income, and all that. Another thing that you and I need to be conscious of is choosing the pleasure of sin over for a season is a path to evil. You know, it's amazing how some people say, you know what, I want to get all I can all I get, and enjoy it while I can. You know, the pleasure of sin for a season is a path to evil. Let me give you an example. Is every person on the face of the earth going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Is every born-again believer on the face of the earth going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. I just sort of asked the same question in two different ways. Think about it a moment. Can you imagine those who stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they realize that they traded their soul, they traded their life for a short span of pleasure, recreation, entertainment, athletics, and now it's D-Day. They stand in the presence of Jesus, have nothing to show. And that's exactly what Jabez knew. He knew that. How do you know he knew that? Because he could look back at the memory of some of those of previous history. He could remember the price that some of them paid. You know, choosing the pleasures of sin, Scripture makes it very clear. You know, the Bible says another is alcohol is a path to evil. When we was growing up, you know, and some of you say, well, you know, I used to drink a lot when I was a kid. When I was a kid, where we lived, it was alcohol flowed freely. I mean, there was bootleggers and there was beer cans all over the road. And I, you know, as a little boy, you're thinking, what's in that can? Second of all, you're thinking, what does that taste like in that can? And then third of all, there's that honest curiosity. I'll go get one of those cans and see what there is in it. Well, I walked over to it and it was empty. Didn't have anything in it. Now, here's the point. If you don't listen to the Word of God, if you don't listen to what God says in His Word that are the pathway to evil, you're bound to fail and to fall. And that's what Jabez prayed. Lord, keep me from evil. May I be ever conscious of those things that would destroy my life, destroy my family. I sometimes hear people say this, well, you know, and please don't think I'm trying to hurt your feelings, but I want you to listen very carefully. Well, me and my husband are going to go out, but now you can't go because it's not a place that's fit for you. I don't know how many times I've heard parents say, you know, no, we're going to do this and you can't go. You know what that child is, you're telling that child? There's a time comes that you can go some places that are not permissible to your children and maybe do some things that are not permissible for children to see or know. And you see, here's the reality. Jabez said, Lord, that I be conscious of evil. Listen, we need to ever be conscious that our life is an open book. It ought to be that you're not afraid to take your son, daughter, child, grandchild, wherever you go. And that's exactly what Jabez knew. You know, another way that God, through his word, keeps us from evil, Jabez knew, is look at the price other people paid. Isn't it interesting how some people will commit sins and they just think they're an exception to the rule? Well, I know committing adultery, you know, back then, but what'll it do to me? It'll do the same thing to you as it did back then. All this will happen in your life as it happened to somebody else's life. It don't matter who you are, what your name is, how much money you've got in the bank, it will rip and destroy. And here's what Jabez prayed. Lord, keep me from evil. And Jabez, deep in his heart, was aware of the evil in his day. And that's why you need to be aware of the landmines in life. You need to be aware of the landmines. You know, whatever your weakness is, your vulnerability is, you need to be aware of those landmines that destroy and have a tendency to devastate your life. And here's the last part of it, that it won't grieve me. Do you know what really the word grieve here means? Lord, if you keep me from evil, I won't get stressed out. I won't be anxiety. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't answer this out loud. How many of you are just living under anxiety? If you're living under anxiety, let me ask you this question. Is obedience to God a priority to your life? You say, well, I try to obey God. Well, no, you don't try to obey God. Let me give you an example. Suppose I'm in an airplane. Pilot is in his seat and co-pilot's in his seat. And we're taxiing out and he gets ready to go down lane 7 to taxi out and to take off. He slows down. Those engines get revved up and he gets the fire going to those engines. And all of a sudden he hits that throttle. And over the speaker in just a few seconds, as it rumbles down the runway, he says this to everybody on board, I'm trying to take off. I don't want to be on a plane like that. I don't want him to try to take off. I want him to take off. I want him to get that thing in the air. I want him to be airborne. I want him to know that everything is safe and all systems are go, because when you get to a certain point, you are committed to either go up or to stop that thing. There is no in between. We don't try to obey God, folks. We either obey God or we disobey Him. There's no in between. Jabez obeyed the living God. He asked the Lord to bless him. Why? Because he was going to give his life to obeying the living God. He was going to do what the living God said in his life. And the Bible says he was going to do that. How do you know that? Because God heard and answered his prayer. But here's the question, as I come to a close. Are you obeying God? Or are you just deceiving yourself, saying you're trying to obey God? You see, there is no concession. There is no, it's either obedience or disobedience. It's either surrendering, saying, yes, Lord, I'll obey you, or a cop out and say, well, it's just, obedience is just too costly. No. Read Deuteronomy 28:15 and following, and you'll find what's costly. What's costly is disobedience. What's costly is to sell your soul to disobedience. What's costly is when that man or that woman says, you know what? This book is for preachers, and this book is for evangelists, and this book is for missionaries. Anybody who applies this book to life and lives this book out of their life, they don't have a messed up life. Do they have problems? Sure they do. Do they have difficulties? Yes, they're there. Do they have a life that's ready to blow up? Mm-mm. You say, now, Pastor, that's pretty bold to say. You know why? Because that person who's anchored in this word, David the king said it this way, I won't be afraid even if the world blows up. You know why? The answer is real simple, and we've sung it many years. Because if it blows up, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister. He's got the whole world in his hand. And see, the thing about it is, Jabez knew God was real. Isn't it sad that we sometimes live and act God, like God's not real? You say, what do you mean by that? We don't pray boldly like Jabez prayed. We say, Lord, just watch over me and take care of me. We don't get to bold request. We don't ask boldly. You know why? Because our mental belief is not in an awesome God. Listen, sometime go to the beach. It's a good thing to go to the beach sometime. And just watch the waves. God's orchestrating every wave that comes in. They've been doing it thousands of years. You know, since the creation of time, probably five, six, he's behind every single one of them. Every molecule of H2O, he's behind. And the Bible says Jabez prayed, and in the end, God said, yes, I'll answer your request. Why? Because he believed in God. How much do you believe in God? You believe in him as much as you talk to him. Some people never talk to God. They say they talk to God, but they don't talk to God. They'll get in a situation, get in a crisis, and, Lord, help me out. Talking to God is, Lord, it may be raining outside, but you've created this world. Just thank you for it. Can you pray as Jabez prayed? Lord, keep me from evil. Do you pray it with intentionality, with expectancy, and with purpose? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for speaking to us through this one phrase in the life of Jabez. Lord, it's as though you put his life as an exclamation point in the middle of a time when people weren't seeking you, in the middle of a climate when people were so disoriented and chose to be disoriented away from you, there you raised up a man who sought the heart of God. Lord, you love us so much that you give us choice. You don't tell us when to pray. You don't tell us how much to pray or how long to pray, but you watch to see what we'll do with these one God-given lives that you've given to us. Will we turn to you and focus on you? Will we turn to things and focus on things? Will we turn to self and focus on self? Lord, you love it when there is a person and a people that will focus on you. And you'll do to us exactly like you did to Jabez. You will grant. You will bring to pass, bring to reality the answers to the request of our heart. Thank you, Father, and have your will in this invitation. In Christ we pray. Amen.